the Bloody Benders. For reasons that likely have to do with where the trail ended, the Oregon Trail has a more wholesome reputation than its southern sister, the Santa Fe. The Oregon Trail once carried the hopes and dreams of whole families. Wagon trains leaving Missouri carried hundreds of thousands of little girls in sunbonnets and boys in bibs bobbing alongside the wagon, Mom holding the youngest up on the seat. The Santa Fe Trail was all about commerce and trade, all about money. Its travelers were draymen, truckers who liked their steak chicken fried, heavy on the gravy. Nothing particularly evil about the Santa Fe. It simply wasn't as wholesome as that other one up north to Oregon. And that may be why the story of the Bloody Benders seems more fitting to the Santa Fe Trail. The Bloody Benders were a family that wasn't a family. Pa and Ma Bender, both immigrants whose thick accents, people say, made communication impossible, weren't any more Pa and Ma than they were married. Back then, common law wasn't at all uncommon. It's likely their children weren't their children either. Accounts of their murderous story make the claim that the children, who were neither theirs nor brother and sister, were entirely as charming and handsome as the parents were not. But then, none of the Benders were who they said they were. Confusing? Well, yeah, but you haven't heard the end of it. Wherever they came from, whoever they were, they homesteaded along the Santa Fe when the Osage bought up cheap land in Indian Territory and determined to move north or else die a slow death in Kansas. Their move opened Kansas land to white settlement, and the Bloody Benders went west. Now be warned, this is a frightening story. They got into murder on the frontier, their modus operandi finally exposed when a man named Lonker and his infant daughter were going east back to Iowa, having thrown in the towel on a homestead claim. The two simply disappeared. And when a man named Dr. York set out to find the Lonkers, he too vanished. Now, York's brothers were determined to find him. And when they didn't, they pressed the case right there where the Osage once roamed. They drew the whole township together and got permission to look door to door for their brother. That night, the Bloody Benders, who weren't Benders, vanished, leaving their two-room frontier abode behind, taking only food and clothing. The neighbors never saw them again. Now, I'm going to withhold the blood and the smell. It's beyond the pale. Suffice it to say that the Benders were perfectly methodical murderers because the Yorks found their brother and the bodies of seven other victims planted in the Benders' garden, which wasn't a garden at all because the neighbors claimed it seemed strange the place was always being plowed. The Benders had separated their one-room house with a single curtain, behind which they claimed to have their living quarters, and then opened their doors to travelers on the Santa Fe Trail. They'd set their beloved guests in a big chair right in front of the curtain, start into the vittles, and one of them, could have been any really, would bash in the head of the victim from behind that curtain. Now, the Bloody Benders is a horror story, told elsewhere, I'm sure, with far more blood and gore. And it ends in a way that'll have you clammy, because it doesn't end at all. Benders were never seen or heard from again. Mother, father, brother, sister, all of them. Wherever they went, they simply disappeared. Not just from Kansas, but from anywhere. Which means they live on in the hearts and minds of those who know the story. Some frontier mass murderers, their horrific crimes forever unpunished. But listen, all this happened in 1875, so the Bloody Benders are long gone. Or are they? Maybe. Seems to me that stories like the Bloody Benders, no matter how old, on Halloween especially, will always be prime time.